All right, let's open our Bibles, please, to John 16. I'm still going to smack him when I get to heaven. Huh? After I hug him, I'm going to smack him. Why did you do that? All right. Well, that's been a good day, hasn't it? Amen. We baptized in two services, and then we're going to have communion here in a few minutes. And we've heard some great music today. We had some visitors from Scotland here this morning in the second service, and they just thoroughly enjoyed the service, just loved it. And he said, I learned something this morning that I will never forget. And I said, what's that? He said, go to the spout where the glory comes out. I don't know where that came from. It just, you know, it certainly wasn't in my notes, that's for sure. But boy, he liked that. He thought that was awesome. All right, John chapter 16. Let's look at verse 7. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is our Savior speaking now. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now I want to use these verses tonight, and I want to give you a job description of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what the Lord Jesus gave us here, was a job description of the Holy Spirit. He told us here what the Holy Spirit would do when he came. Let's pray, and then the message. Father, I ask you now to bless and to help us to understand and to see the truths that are here in these verses. And I just pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and help me. I want to be a blessing. I want to say things that I need to say about the Lord Jesus tonight. And so, Father, I pray that you will help me to just brag on him and lift him up and make much of the Savior tonight. And I pray that you'll just teach us something that perhaps we did not know, something that will enlighten us as to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, bless the message now, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. There is no doubt at all that the spiritual needs of men are great. Our spiritual needs are great. But I think that you will agree with me that they cannot be greater than the power of the Godhead to meet those needs. In other words, there is not one need, one spiritual need we have that God cannot meet. There's not one. All right? So our God, okay, look at it this way. Our God is a triune God. He is three, yet one. He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three persons to the Godhead, and these three are one. You cannot say that God the Father is God, but God the Son is not God. No, you cannot say that. For God the Son is just as much God as God the Father. And you cannot say that the Holy Spirit is not just as much God as is the Father and as is the Son. Now, three persons in the Godhead. And I want you to understand that each person of the Godhead has a role in bringing us sinners to salvation so that we might know God and be saved from an eternity in hell. Do you remember what the prodigal son said to himself? The prodigal son said to himself, I will arise and go to my father. And I'm telling you, that certainly is a place where all men need to go. We all need to get to the Father. For you see, James, the Apostle James, tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. And so that means that the gift of salvation comes to us from God the Father. But then a man may say, well, I know I need to get to the Father, but how do I get to the Father? How can I get to God the Father? And right here is where we find the need for the second person of the Godhead. For you see, the Bible tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, that the Word became flesh. And John told us that the Word that came was God, and that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Apostle John told us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And then he said that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Apostle Paul said it this way, in him, in Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So salvation is of God the Father, but it is through God the Son. All right? That's how you and I get to God the Father. We get to God the Father through God the Son. It was the Lord Jesus who provided the sacrifice for our sins so that we could be forgiven of our sins and saved from our sins. So now I can hear some poor sinner say, but how do I get to Jesus? I mean, I'm poor and wretched. I am blind and cannot see. I am lame and cannot walk. I am dead in my trespasses and sins. And you know that a dead man cannot move a single muscle. That man is dead. He cannot move. So how can I get to the Lord Jesus? So how in the world can an unsaved person get to Jesus? And this is where the third person of the Godhead comes on the scene. The third person of the Godhead has quickening power. He quickens us. He has life-giving power to show us to Jesus. Life-giving power to show us to Jesus. And according now to these verses that I read for you, Lord Jesus said that the job of the Holy Spirit is to show or to declare the Lord Jesus to us. As the Son leads us to the Father, the Spirit leads us to the Son through what the Bible calls regeneration or the new birth. So the job of the Holy Spirit is not to glorify himself. Folks, that is one reason why I know that this modern day charismatic movement is not of God. Because the emphasis is upon the wrong person of the Godhead. All right? Very clearly, the job of the Spirit is not to glorify himself, but to glorify the Lord Jesus. And the Holy Spirit points us to Jesus, and throughout the entirety of our Christian life, the Spirit teaches us who the Lord Jesus is. Look at verse 15 for just a moment, and you'll see the little words, all things pertaining to Christ are taught to us of the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at this important job description given by the Lord Jesus about the Holy Spirit. And notice just a couple things. Number one, notice he shows us, the Spirit shows us an excellent Savior. He shows us an excellent Savior. In verse 14, the Spirit does not glorify the church, or he does not glorify a church. He does not glorify or honor or point to a preacher or to a pope or to Mary or to a priest or to a baptism or to a deed. No, the Spirit points us to a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit glorifies Christ. And that is because the Holy Spirit is leading men to the only way of salvation. You see, folks, it is the business of Jesus to save lost sinners. We all agree with that. It is the business of Jesus to save lost sinners. Jesus said one time, they that are whole need not a physician. No, it's the sick individual who needs a physician. The Lord Jesus came to heal the spiritually sick. In Luke 19:10, Jesus said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, if you realize this, and you understand that this was the purpose for the Lord Jesus coming, then listen, you should not be afraid to come to the Lord Jesus. I mean, if you understood that, if I wanted to get a haircut, I should not be afraid to go into a barber shop and ask for a haircut. I mean, that's his job or her job. You know, you wouldn't walk into a barbershop and say, excuse me, but could I impose upon you to cut my hair? No, that would be foolish to even think that way. Cutting hair is that person's livelihood. It's their job. It's what they do. And folks, that is exactly what the Lord Jesus did. He put Savior over the door and he says, come on in, and I can come boldly to him, trusting that he will be more than obliged to save my soul. It's his business. And this is why whosoever will is found so often in the scriptures. Over and over, the Lord Jesus said, come, come to me. Come unto me. You see, he knew that that he is the only one who can save us. He knew that. And so that's why he said, come to me. He bids us come over and over. And I find it absolutely fascinating that the closing verses of the Bible are a powerful invitation for us to come to him. Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Oh, listen, dear friend, grab this truth tonight. The Holy Spirit desires to show you an excellent Savior. If there was anyone in this room tonight who is not saved, let me encourage you to jump into the arms of the only one who is able to save your soul from an eternal hell and give you an eternal home in heaven. And that's what the Spirit does. He shows us that Jesus is an excellent Savior. Second thing he shows us, an efficient intercessor. You see, once I am saved, I now have access to God. But I go through Jesus, who is at the right hand of God the Father, where he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. It is the job of the Holy Spirit to show me this efficient intercessor. When I sin, the Spirit convicts me and points me to the one who forgives sin. You know, there is no creature on the face of the planet who is as wretched and miserable as the Christian who has unconfessed sin that he's dealing with. But the Spirit's job is to teach of one who can intercede for me and give me joy and peace. When sin has robbed me of my joy, the Spirit comes and points me to the fountain of joy. When sin has brought me misery, the Spirit comes and points me to one who is the Prince of Peace. When sin has me running and rebelling, the Holy Spirit comes along and points me to the one who can take the mess that I have created and miraculously put it all back together again. That's our Savior. And the Holy Spirit points that out to us. When we read the book of Hebrews, we read, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And the Spirit's job is to lead me to a knowledge that the only way to joy and victory is to confess my sin. And so he points me to Jesus, who is sitting beside God the Father, where Jesus pleads my case to the Father when I pray. You see, folks, no child of God can run from the Father without the Spirit convicting him or her of sin. It's just that simple. No child of God can get away from the Father without the Spirit convicting them of sin. The Holy Spirit brings that conviction to the child of God who goes away from the Lord. Look at verse 13. Jesus said, the Spirit will guide us in the truth. He'll guide us in the truth. And the key to the victorious Christian life is to daily allow the Spirit to teach you about this efficient intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess the key, Christian, is not to let sin pile up in your life. Dr. Hudson used to talk about this all the time, and he would say, keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts with God. Nobody's perfect. We all sin. But keep short accounts with God. And I'm no doubt preaching to some folks. You've been saved for a long time, but you've not been confessing your sins to the Lord. And those sins are separating between you and your God. So let the Holy Spirit teach you about the efficient intercessor that we have. He stands with open arms, ready to forgive and to restore if only we would pray and confess our sins to Him. And then thirdly, the Spirit shows us effectual promises. Now, I said, first of all, that the Spirit shows us an excellent Savior. Then secondly, He shows us an efficient intercessor. But now thirdly, the Spirit shows us effectual promises. I don't know if you've ever thought about of this aspect of the Holy Spirit's ministry. Whatever the Holy Spirit shows you, though, here it is. Whatever He shows you, you can have it. All right? He takes the things of Christ, Jesus said, and He shows them to us. And the point is, whatever He shows you, you can have it. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? What do we read in our Bible about Jesus? Well, we read such things as He is full of mercy. He is full of grace. He is full of love. He is full of compassion. He is full of forgiveness, of power, of blessing. And when the Holy Spirit of God shows you these attributes about Jesus, the reason that He does it is to let you know, hey, this is something that Jesus has and it can be yours. He does not show us our Lord's mercy and grace and love and compassion and forgiveness and power and blessing to taunt us. No, He shows us these things to freely give us all things. He doesn't show us Christ and then say, but you cannot have that. Aren't you glad that you can have forgiveness? I've had people through the years come and they'll say, Pastor, I just can't seem to get the victory here. I have tried to pray and it's like my prayers hit the ceiling and come back. And the problem is 99.9% of the time, you can't forgive yourself. But what's the Bible say? The Bible says that the Lord Jesus can forgive us no matter what we've done. No matter what the sin. If we confess our sin to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you can't get forgiveness, it's your fault because you won't forgive yourself. All you got to do is come to the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit shows you these attributes of the Savior and says, this is yours. I'm going to give this to you freely. Do you remember when God told Jacob, the land where thy head lieth, to thee will I give it. And my friend, you can rest assured that any promise you find in the Bible, if you are to lie down on it, it's yours. It's yours. Whatever you as a child of God needs, the Spirit can show you a Savior who can meet that need. That's my point. Are you hurting? Well, let me remind you that the Lord Jesus hurt too when He was here. So He knows what you're facing and He can help you. Are you lonely? Well, let me remind you that the Lord Jesus was lonely when he was here, and the Spirit of God can show you how the Lord Jesus endured loneliness. This is why we need to read the Bible every day, folks, so you can learn the promises made in the Scriptures. The Spirit of God will show you those promises as you're in the book. And then notice, the Holy Spirit shows us the promise of eternal life. Just take your Bible for a minute. Go over to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Let me show you just a wonderful verse. The book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, look please at verse 13. Oh, what a great promise this is. Look here. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were, what's the next word?
Sealed.
Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Notice Paul says that you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, folks, if something is not sealed right, it's going to spoil. Right? If you don't seal something right, it's going to spoil on you. When I got saved, the Holy Spirit of God sealed me. And nothing can break that seal. The devil can't break it. Sin can't break it. No man can break it. No devil can break it. No demon can break it. No mistake, no doubt, no fear, no preacher, no angel. Nothing can break the seal that was stamped upon my heart by the Holy Spirit of God on that day that I prayed and asked Jesus into my heart. I'm sealed forever. And I've been sealed by an eternal, omnipotent, unchanging God. And so have you if you've been saved. Martin Luther used to tell a story in his preaching, and he would use this as an illustration, and he would tell everybody that one day the devil came to him and told him, "I have a list of your sins." And the devil's and Martin Luther looked at the list and said, "Is that all you got?" And the devil said, "Oh no, I got more." And Luther said, "Well, I tell you what, won't you just go find everything you got and bring it back?" So the devil was gone for a little while, and then finally he came back, and Luther said that he had a list that was so long you could have wrapped it around the world twice. And so as the devil was reading through the list, Martin Luther stopped him and said, "Where's the end of your list?" And so the devil started pulling and trying to drag it all up. And finally he got the bottom of the list out and he held it up and said, "Right here." And Luther said, "Let me have it." And he took it and laid it on the desk. And he took his pen out and he wrote, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." And handed it back to him and said, "Now you're going back where you came from." You know, that's what some folks need to do tonight. You need to tell the devil, go on back where you came from. You've been saved. You've been forgiven. Let the Holy Spirit show you this promise that you have. And quit allowing the devil to beat you and keep you down. Now you just stand up and quit living in your sin and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. And there's just too many Christians who allow the devil to just wear you out and wallow you in the guilt of the fact that you still sin against God. Well, listen, all of us still sin against God. But you have an advocate with the Father. And let me ask you this. How many times do you have to ask God for forgiveness before he forgives you? Once. So quit letting the devil beat the tar out of you. And just live in the power that the Holy Spirit gives you and the victory that the Holy Spirit gives you. Because, folks, that's what he does. He, look at verse 14, and he shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So let me advise you, get in the book and find out what you've got and just rejoice in your salvation.